right, welcome to Dan and Dalton's.
Hey, we're talking football, man.
We're talking ball, talking. we're talking football, yeah.
Only one of us has spent part of this fall season as a defensive coordinator.
That's right. You. Yeah, and we didn't end the season on the note that I would have preferred. We would have ended our flag football season, first and second grade Cottage Hill Warriors, but that's okay. It was all about the kids having fun. I certainly did not have my emotions invested in the performance of my defense on a week-to-week basis, and you know that because I didn't come in complaining at all.
Do you want me to cover for you and just go along with what you're saying?
But we made it almost the whole way through before that last game, my six-year-old goes, I don't think this is for me.
That's pretty deep into the season to decide I'm not a football player.
Well, they started blocking her, so that's where the issues began to arise. But you know what? The Cottage Hill flag football team, not in our FM Talk 106.5 college pick'em pool.
Yeah, we got a great weekend of games coming up, and we'll get to those. You want to start by reviewing how we did last week?
Let's do that, and let's talk about the games that we had and schedule. I mean, we've had certainly better weekends on the schedule, but you never know how the games will turn out. And unfortunately for this week, we didn't really get any – I mean, I don't think we got any really great tight games either. Especially in our pick 'em pool. I guess the tightest would have been Troy and South, which went to overtime.
That's right.
And you also had UCF and Kansas. UCF got all the way down to the one to tie the game before turning the ball over. Other than that, and, Bama, let's get into it. Because let's start with that first game in Georgia. Barely covered. So when you're talking about the line.
And I picked him not to cover. I picked Kentucky to slide in there because Kentucky always plays Georgia tough. But Georgia, they could have named their score just about because they were up 35-7 and really emptied the bench in the fourth quarter. So that was a chance for Georgia to do some damage, but it's just Kentucky and they're no good.
How early was Gunther, as I call him? How early did they pull Gunther? I was at the Hey Hira Honeybee Festival.
They pulled Gunther Stockton probably in the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Okay.
They put Puglisi in. And what's funny is, seriously, Puglisi comes into the game. He looks like a real bona fide quarterback. Gunner is, he's just a tough guy that doesn't always look, pretty doing it, but he had a good game and a good game plan he executed. So
you said they could have named their score and they decided to get cover by a half a point, which was good news for me, bad news for you.
Yep.
Air Force, and, shame on me. And I was at my brother's house this weekend watching this game.
Well, you had to. You had to pick Air Force. Your brother's a former member of that team. So you're
no, I went Navy. That's the problem. I went with Navy to cover in this game.
What a scoundrel. I went with Navy, too, and I lost.
Yeah, because Air Force, just like these Service Academy games, 96% of the time, it's a tight game.
And what was the score?
It ended up being 34-31.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, right. I've got it as a loss here. So.
Yeah, Navy was favored by 11.5 points, and they won the game, but Air Force sure gave them a hell of a fight.
Evidently.
What did you make? Because I watched the entirety of this one, Vanderbilt and Bama, and I don't know if anyone remembers, if you listened to the show, last week I called for the outright upset for Vanderbilt.
Well, I'll tell you what, they might have been two turnovers away from getting close to that, but Pavia turned it over twice.
Yeah.
One time, both were down deep. I know one was around the 5-yard line with a fumble.
The fumble, they were moving into territory to take the lead.
I mean,
they already had the lead. But
they were 5-yard line or so.
And that was a close call, too. He was almost down.
That's right. I guess he had a pick, too, later on in the game. But anyway.
Second half, Bama just, controlled the game.
They did. They ran it. They controlled the game. I thought their run blocking was good from the very beginning. They ran the ball a lot better than they did against Georgia. And Ty Simpson was good again. But again, Vandy turned it over. Last year, Bama was turning it over. Last year, Bama turned it over, and Vandy had the ball the whole game. This year, Bama had the ball most of the game, especially in the second half.
Yeah, we weren't seeing the long drives from Vandy because they were scoring on long runs, at least early on.
Right, and then it dried up, too.
So Bama, I mean, easily covering his 10.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I went with Vandy to cover, I was 0-3 at that point.
By the way, what did you make of the Tide fans getting after Pavia at the end of the game? Fair or foul?
Well, how bad were they?
Oh, did you see the – I don't know if you saw the video. So as Pavia was leaving – first he got into it with a few Bama players on the field after the handshake.
Oh,
a little smack.
I didn't see that.
They were returning the smack talk at the end of the game. But he's going into the tunnel with his team, and there's one tight – I mean, they're all giving it to him from the stands, but one in particular was being real upfront in his face and getting closer and closer. Pavia was kind of shrugging him off, and then I don't know if a student assistant or who the guy was not wearing – pads. Come on, he's a kid, man. He's a kid, which Pavia is not.
No, he's not. And he also said a lot of things before the game. I mean, when you're that kind of athlete that says what you want, you say what you're saying, then you know you're going into a stadium of 100,000 people that read exactly what you said, mm-hmm. which was not like we can, it's not even going to be close.
And to top it off, as he was warming up before the game, he practiced a victory snap. Where he kneeled the ball.
So he asks for it. So, you know, I have no problem with that.
Texas and Florida, I mean, the problems. The Athletic wrote an article asking if Arch Manning is the first true bust in NIL.
A little early for that, isn't it?
Seriously, I mean, he's starting for the Texas Longhorns. And while still doesn't have that marquee win that he's looking for, I was shocked. Not shocked that Florida's defense played as well as they did. But the fact that Florida's offense was able to move with a banged-up Lagway, he got even more injured during the game.
I didn't see that. I know his numbers were good, and they won, and they got well ahead by two scores. That's the SEC. That's college football now. Texas loses at Florida. Florida's coach, preseason Sarkisian is the talk of the nation. Mm-hmm. As you know, Texas rules everything. And as it turns out, he's no better than Billy Sunbelt or whatever.
Sunbelt Billy.
Yeah, Sunbelt Billy had to turn. And he's on the hottest of seats, and they beat him. And that's the state of college football today. You don't know.
Worrisome for me as a Vols fan who does not like the Florida Gators.
Mm-hmm.
Normally we play them early in the season. That would have been great this year. But they may be turning it around, but what a cauldron of games they have coming up.
They've got Georgia and Jacksonville coming up in a few weeks. That won't be easy, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Texas Tech, and they've made it into our pick 'em every week, just about, and they just look good. They look really good, and they took care of business against Houston 35-11 as 11.5-point favorites.
That's the second time they won by that nearly the same score, right? They were real close with Utah,
mm-hmm.
right around 14-10 or something like that, and then they cruised at the end at Utah. I think that game might have been at Houston, so they aren't even playing at home yet. They look really good.
They do. I think they'll certainly be in the mix at the end of the year for the playoff, if not, you know, favored. They're favored now to get into the playoff, I would imagine. Let's see. South and Troy kind of mentioned it, and South desperately didn't need to cover. They needed to win this game after a 1-4 start, and against their hated rival Troy for the battle for the belt. Went to overtime, which is great, but South, are the wheels? Is it fair to say the wheels are falling off at 1-5?
No, I don't know. Let's see. They've got to have a bunch of home games coming up here because they've been on the road and away a lot. Mm-hmm. So we'll get a chance to see them. See what's up.
Yeah, I mean the Auburn loss, the tight Tulane loss. You can only give them so much.
The
grief
Auburn
for
was
those.
Not a blowout either.
No. But this Troy loss that stings. Miami did cover and they did win against Florida State 28-22. Kind of a throwaway touchdown late for Florida State, which kept them within a score. But it felt to me like Miami controlled that game from what I saw of the game.
That was a late score, a little bit like Texas had against Florida. I think Miami definitely controlled the game the first three quarters and a half or so.
Speaking of a team that looks in control this year, Texas A&M, and they were 14.5-point favorites over Mississippi State. Again, we don't need to bring attention to the fact that I called for a possible outright upset win for Mississippi State, but that did not happen.
So what was the final there? I lost that game because I went with Mississippi State to get inside the line.
31-9 ended up being the final there. And
A&M's showing that good defense again.
They are, and the Bulldogs still looking for their first SEC win in at least a year and a half, maybe coming up on 2 years now at this point. They were 0-8 last season, and so far I think 0-2 or 0-3 in SEC play this year.
But again, talking about the balance in college football, they take a very good Tennessee team into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
Kansas and UCF ended up being kind of tight at the end, but Kansas covered because they won by a touchdown. They were 4.5-point favorites.
Yeah, so that's the makeup. That's the oddball makeup of the big 12, right?
Yeah.
Central Florida now is in the Big 12, so that was actually a league game when you sound like these teams don't even have any association with each other.
Yeah,
they couldn't even pick out the other the guys who's in that uniform. They wouldn't even know. They are conference rivals now, so that's a fact.
And so much of that conference, Big 12, it's like you've got teams, and I think Texas Tech may be the best overall team, but so many of these guys just have dudes,
yeah.
Right? And Kansas, that quarterback, he's a dude.
He's a dude, and he had a really good player, and they're well coached. They're not a bad team at all.
And then to kind of wrap up our 10 games from last week that we picked, Ohio State, number one ranked team in the country, easily taking care of Minnesota. And I think you mentioned last week, Fleck, you know, yeah, he might be. There's more talk this week after that embarrassing 42-3 loss, even though it was against the number one team in the nation. Fleck may be on his way out. I don't know.
I've just heard that he's kind of an oddball guy anyway. So you got to win games. You can't be somebody. You know, you have to be. You either have to make friends with boosters and make sure everybody's cool with you to start with. And then you're able to navigate through some tougher times if you have people on your side. But if you're just somebody that people are, I don't know, a little embarrassed by in the first place, maybe I'm talking about Hugh Freeze, actually. But so anyway, by the end of the show, we'll get to our picks. And no disrespect to Auburn. Freeze can be a little squirrely, but that team plays hard. And I don't know. I think they're going to be ready for Georgia tomorrow night, no doubt.
By the way, our leaders this past week, just on a week-by-week basis,
yeah.
Smokey Joe went 9-1 to lead the pack. His only miss, he picked Navy to cover, which I don't think was a bad decision, obviously. That ended up being kind of surprising that Air Force kept it as close as they did. But Smokey Joe goes 9-1, and then we have a whole host of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I didn't know this was going to keep going. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. At least 25 people that went 8-2 this week.
Good week for you.
I mean, I went 4-6, so I'm kind of falling behind. Got to catch back up.
Yeah, 5-5 for Danny B, and I am 10 under .500 for the year.
Our the leader in the clubhouse for the overall pick'em is almost hitting at a 66% rate.
Yeah,
39-21.
He's going to be so shocked when I catch him. I going to be shocked. Mathematicians around the world, saying that's not going to happen.
That was impossible.
Impossible.
We don't understand how that occurred. By the way, if you're new to this, our FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Pool, it's closed now, and hopefully many of you that are playing are listening. But a fantastic prize going to one person at the end of the year from Spring Hill Ace Hardware with that RecTech patio legend pellet smoker/grill. That's the big Magilla in this grand prize, valued at about $800. You also get a grill cover for that and some pellets to get you started. TurtleBox Ranger Bluetooth speaker, which are just flying off the shelves. Those are the hottest things out there right now.
Are people buying them or stealing them?
Probably a little bit of both, but hopefully at Spring Hill Ace, buying them.
I don't want them still there.
And then the Yeti Hopper 32-can soft-side cooler. Also going to that grand prize winner. So thank you to Spring Hill Ace. I got to get over there. They've got these made-in USA brand stainless steel, and they've got all this great cookware from Made In. And I've been told I need to go check it out. So I think I'm going to go purchase some of that this weekend.
You know, when things are flying off the shelf in California, it's usually criminal activity.
It usually is. So when we come back, we'll get into maybe a little bit more into last week's game, start to preview this coming week. We'll have our Paul Feinbaum segment, as we do every week, coming up. And then the good senator. And then Dan and Dalton's picks. You don't want to miss them.
No.
Maybe you do.
Yeah, why would you? Yeah.
Those will be at the end of the show. More Dan and Dalton's College Football Show on the way.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Your host of Mobile Mornings every weekday between 6 and 9 on FM Talk 106.5. But now we dedicate ourselves completely to the world of college football, and you and I are just going to kind of hone in on the games that our teams are involved in this weekend, this segment. It's not going to be a long one, but Tennessee's got a they've got a game that they probably, you know, they were upset last year at Arkansas.
Yeah.
So
that was a shock.
That was bad. I mean, that kind of messed up their season, but they still made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But here's a good chance to get Arkansas back at Neyland.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because I'm always so, you know, wary when you've got, first off, a coaching change. And normally, you know, when you make a coaching change like Arkansas does, you don't go back to your old head coach like they did in this case with Petrino. So I'm not sure.
You're scandalized ex-head coach.
So I'm not sure if you'll have the same fire from the team as you do with a young up-and-coming coach or that defensive coordinator who just never got his shot. He finally gets to lead the team, the motivator that they install sometimes. And on top of that, coming off of a bye week, which Arkansas is, but Tennessee is too. So that kind of makes that null and void. Tennessee's favored by like 11.5 points.
I mean, look, Notre Dame rolled that team. They did whatever they wanted to do offensively against Arkansas. And Tennessee may not quite be Notre Dame, but they might be. They might be that good. Their offense is really good, and they can run it. Obviously, Aguilar can throw it. The wide receivers played out of their minds against Georgia, I can tell you that.
The balance for this Tennessee team is really good compared to last year when they had a playoff team, because you think, well, they had Nico, right? He was just hitting bombs all up and down the field. Nico was terrible beyond about 20 yards, in front of 20 yards, less than. He wasn't very good at that either. And that was purely run game and defense last year with the threat of over-the-top shots.
And Nico running occasionally, right?
And, yeah, occasionally running. But I think Aguilar, he hasn't really shown his wheels as much as Nico was. He may be a better runner than Nico is. Mm-hmm. He's certainly a better deep ball passer, and they still have a really good run game. But the defense might be even better for Tennessee this year than it was last year. So, I'm always hesitant to say this about my team, because it makes you look like even more of a fool when it doesn't come true. But I have trouble believing that Tennessee won't just roll on Saturday against Arkansas. I saw the Razorbacks said they were kind of cutting away from their defensive playbook, trying to make things simpler so that they play faster. That was kind of the move from Petrino, as he let go of a lot of his defensive staff this past week. It'll be interesting to see, but I know you've got your eyes on this Georgia-Auburn game. And as a Georgia fan, and let me say, you're not a Georgia fan, sycophant. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're pretty realistic and have been for as long as I've known you, even throughout the championship seasons, very realistic about how you expect them to play in a given week.
Yeah, and so how I expect this team to play in a given week is kind of like a little bit of a mystery, but they still have some sort of DNA in there where they're not even impressing you, and then you look up, it's like they're right in this game, or they took the lead, or you know, so there's something in there, the character of the kids, the togetherness of the team. There's something there that I think is worth noting. Now this is going to be a tough environment, but they've already done the tough environment, not a nighttime, but playing at Neyland, no picnic, right?
Not at all.
And so you had Gunnar Stockton. It was his first SEC road game. I'm not saying he's necessarily going to play unflappable and well on the road against Auburn. How well do you have to play against the Auburn offense? How many points do you have to score would be my question.
Yeah, and it's not like Auburn doesn't have weapons.
No.
They may have the premier receiver weapon in the country.
They've got their Cam is better than, and Georgia's got some pretty good receivers. They don't have him. I mean, that guy's really that good. So they could hit us over the top easily.
And what are things looking like? Because during that Tennessee game, you were texting with me about the right side of the Georgia offensive line.
Yeah.
And they were just getting blasted by Herring, who's not the best edge rusher for the Vols, but he's been really, really good this year. And I guess they're dealing with some injuries this week. May see who's able to make it or not. But Auburn's defense is nothing to sell short.
No, I agree. And so Georgia's offensive, the state of the offensive line is that the right side of the offensive line has been stabilized by two freshmen. One of them was in that game, but he's playing better. But the preseason All-SEC right tackle has not played at all this year, or barely. Now the left tackle is hurt, Freeling. So now it's like, what do we have? I don't know. Bubblegum? Caulk? But they've been able, they've run the ball very well this year with whoever's been in there. That was a glaring problem against Tennessee, but they still scored 40-some points.
Yeah, they did. And that reminds me, and I got kind of two more takes on this game. You know, the Georgia Bulldogs that we've known for these years, kind of reminded me of Mike Tyson, right? He'd come out there, the game would be over 8 minutes in.
Yeah.
Like, we're not catching up.
Yes, that's so right.
This year's Georgia Bulldogs are a lot more like Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope strategy. They just hang around. They know they can win at the end of the game. And I don't like the Georgia Bulldogs as a Tennessee fan.
Sure.
Kirby Smart is just, I'm in awe of him.
Yeah, and even that loss against Alabama, they said the reason they ran that quick play with Cash Jones, it got busted up on the right side of the offensive line again by a great play by Alabama. If it had not, and you gave some wave, whatever. But if they just execute that one block, he walks into the end zone. Mm. Georgia did not want to tie that game. They were too concerned with Alabama's offense. So if they get a touchdown lead, now you're forcing Alabama to score a touchdown rather than a field goal. And they said sequentially that was the right. It was almost like a setup. If we get within 1 yard, we're going to go fast, and this is it. And it just did not work out.
And then my only other question on this game, and then we'll hit the break and we'll get that Paul Feinbaum segment that we have every week coming up next. But when and will, or let me say will, and if they do, when will the Auburn players, when will Hugh Freeze lose the locker room? Mm. And is that a possibility? Because we've seen that happen mid-game. You know, this is one setting up for Auburn this weekend. All right, we're only 3.5-point dogs. We're in Jordan-Hare, under the lights. We can win this big game. But if things don't go well to begin with, especially on the offensive side of things, it seems like there's some discontent coming already from the offensive side of the locker room. If they just lay it down, this could end up being an embarrassing result.
Well, it could, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I would agree that if Georgia is able to make some plays and get a 10 or 14-point lead, and Auburn just continues to struggle like they're in the mud, at some point the defense is like, what do we have to do? Mm. And against Texas A&M, they did it. They almost scored. They scored their own touchdown or nearly got down there. They became the offense because of the lack of offense.
Yeah, it's wild. That's one I just don't know really what to expect.
Well, it's a rivalry, first of all. Their back's against the wall. Hugh Freeze is back against the wall. But Kirby Smart knows all of that, so... I think it's a fascinating game.
Yeah, it really is. Why don't we give our picks later on in the show like we always do. We'll tell you who we think will win and whether they'll cover. But up next, Paul Feinbaum joins us. This is Dan and Dalton's College Football Show on FM Talk 106.5.
It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Indeed, on a Friday with Paul Feinbaum of this Football Friday, brought to you by Bryant Bank. And so we welcome you into the show, Senator. We welcome you into the show, Paul Feinbaum.
Hey, thank you. Listen, I haven't had much to do this week, so I appreciate you guys calling. I've been waiting for my phone to ring.
You seem like you're on some sort of political suspension for a while. But anyway, that's another company's that's their priority or their prerogative. How you doing, Paul? We're going to look back at the weekend that was just a little bit, and then we have a pretty big slate for this weekend, right?
Yeah, I mean, last weekend was really defined by two things. It was another loss for Arch Manning, and another loss for James Franklin on different sides of the country, both equally painful. And, you know, James Franklin, he's a Penn State coach for everyone who has forgotten. He said it was tough to travel all the way out to UCLA from Happy Valley. He failed to mention that Oregon had traveled the week before and beaten him at home.
Yep.
That is the all-time – I mean, what do you do with a James Franklin? He wins you 9 or 10 games a year, but you have to know in the back of your mind you're never going to win at all. I mean, what
– I got the perfect job for him. Take Bill Belichick's place in North Carolina.
Wow. That could be open sometime this week.
Hey, we don't – no, they don't want you – Belichick said he's there for good, and UNC wants you to know that he's their coach. Okay?
Oh, okay. Okay, is that their statement this week?
Yeah, they put it out late. So, Paul, speaking of the Arch Manning game and Sunbelt Billy off the bye, run game gets going, Lagway. I mean, the offense, which has been putrid for much of this year, shows up, and Arch still not there yet. Florida gets that big win, and Texas now still winless. Well, that was their first SEC game, but winless in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, Sunbelt Billy's just kind of guy, kind of like your crazy high school girlfriend that you break up to make up. And I mean, he just, every time you think he's about to get fired, he comes back. I was down there last weekend, guys, and I mean, I tried to say something nice about him, just to, you know, be a company man.
Which and, you are.
Thank you. I approve that message. And it, the fans started booing me, saying "Fire Billy!" Fire.
Wow.
So,
I mean,
he may have been gone had he lost that game, but he wins, and now he gets to go out to A&M, and Texas gets to play the Red River game against OU. And the funniest thing about that game is, with John Mateer out, Arch Manning might actually be the best quarterback in the game.
Yeah, he might. He might.
First time all year.
And then, of course, in Tuscaloosa, Pavi has got to eat his words, and as much as he was the reason they won last year, he may have been the actual reason that Vandy lost this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's an actor, got old very quickly. I mean, it just got to be ridiculous. And you try to say all the right things in this business. You don't wish anything ill, but I was really kind of glad to see Alabama stuff the words back down his throat.
Yeah, they nearly stuffed him into a locker.
Yeah, they did.
That was wild.
They sure did.
I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback pre-game practice the victory kneel like Pavia did, just to really, I mean, that would have been a masterpiece if they had pulled off the upset. But you gotta, and I think Pavia's, I think he's taking it fine. I haven't seen him respond to any of the Bama fans or Bama players after the game that were giving it right back to him. I think he knew he was going to get as good as he gave, but
he's got to, right? So yeah, Dalton was telling me after the game that he was confronted by some Bama players and fans were giving him a pile of crap, but With Diego's, the way he operates, he's got to know that's coming. If you don't win the game, get ready.
Well, listen, when you shoot your shot as often as he has, you're going to miss.
Yep.
And I don't really, I just have quit liking him, if I can be so politically incorrect.
Well, let's talk about Bama's next game, because Vanderbilt, we thought they had the potential to be a test, and they were for 30 minutes. But Missouri, talk about an unbeaten team that no one really feels like they have a great grasp on how good they could be. I mean, they're still ranked behind several one-loss SEC teams.
Well, the truth is they haven't played anyone.
Yeah.
This schedule was pretty easy to predict, that they would likely be undefeated. Now, I'm the only idiot that thought maybe Alabama would also be undefeated. But the point is that they're a good team. They have an outstanding runner, maybe the best in the country. But we just don't know anything yet. But I do think it's a pretty nerdy game for Alabama. I mean, third game in a long stretch. And I've never quite figured out that 11 o'clock local time start, whether that really helps or hurts the home team. It seemed like it would be an advantage for the road team. But I think if Alabama walks out of there losing, it shouldn't come as a shock to the system. I don't think they will, but I wouldn't feel good as an Alabama fan until about 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, I've heard from many people that you haven't really seen a real college football game until you've been in Memorial Stadium at 11 a.m. So that's what the title find
and,
out this weekend.
Not that I'm trying to lose any popularity in Missouri, but this is now my second trip to Missouri in about 6 weeks. So I'm well versed on the great Midwest.
By the way, you're right, I don't know that 11 o'clock kickoff is a compliment to either team or what it says exactly. One thing about Missouri, they don't have to really come up with anything new, fangled on offense, because they run it for like 290 yards a game.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's against soft competition to this point, but they do something well that Bama has had a little trouble stopping, because Georgia ran it pretty well against Alabama, too.
And so did Vandy.
And so did Vandy for a time.
Half.
Yeah. So anyway, it's worth considering.
It's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think the 11 o'clock kickoff really affects the atmosphere in Missouri. It's the same at 11 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night.
So Georgia and Auburn off a bye week, and they're probably watching after what Florida did off the bye week last week, thinking they might have a similar chance to really kind of turn the way their offense is operating around. But you talk about as professional as you can get in the college environment, that is the Georgia Bulldogs under Kirby Smart. They don't waver a whole lot week to week, at least in my opinion.
No, I mean, I love this game, maybe because as a young sports writer, it was always in the middle of November. It was 2 weeks before the Iron Bowl.
Yep.
And I just thought this is one of the richest rivalries in college football. And it just feels weird early October. But literally everything is on the line for Auburn. I like where Hugh Freeze's boss, John Cone, this week, you know, kind of shrugged his shoulders when he was asked if this was a critical game for Hugh Freeze. Yes, it is. Mm. It's time for him to win one of these big games. Auburn fans look at two games every year, and you better win one if you want to survive. And this is one of them. I don't need to tell you the other one.
Yeah, this is not – I've heard this time and time again this season that this is not, quote-unquote, a vintage Kirby Smart Georgia team. But they're a Kirby Smart Georgia team anyway. So regardless of what they have or their deficiencies with their youth and lack of experience – and they're not getting to the quarterback. You can run up all kinds of things that Georgia doesn't do necessarily well. They're still Georgia. They present a problem to whoever they play.
Yeah, and let me make it simple for Auburn fans. Georgia has the better coach in this game, so that really matters. Georgia's a tough team to watch sometimes, but 2 weeks removed from Alabama, that game was really came down to one play. In spite of Alabama playing as Georgia playing as poorly as they did.
Yep, I agree.
How about Florida? Can they keep this thing rolling? Now, this time
on the road,
they're away from the swamp.
Yeah,
playing at College Station and Texas A&M. They've just, been in control. Of course, a relatively tight one against Auburn a few weeks back. But how do you see this Florida at A&M game kind of playing out?
I mean, I think it is an opportunity for Napier. I don't think A&M is unbeatable, but I do think the setting is pretty tough. And I think I have a hard time believing Florida can be consistent 2 weeks in a row. So I'm gonna go Aggies and give Sunbelt Billy his fourth loss of the year and one step closer to going back to the Sunbelt.
Now that it's clear that Lenora Sellers will not be in New York City to contend for the Heisman, that was a lot of chatter preseason, but mm-hmm. Doesn't look like it now. They're on the road, South Carolina at LSU, and another guy whose performance has not lived up to the preseason hype, and the quarterback at LSU.
Nussmeier. Yeah.
Nussmeier. Talk that maybe he's been injured all this time. I don't know what. But does South Carolina have a fighting chance going into that one?
I don't think so. I mean, you take a look at their schedule. I mean, it is just ridiculous. And this would be their third loss, and they still have Alabama and an endless number of really good teams. But I think Nussmeier, I think he has been banged up. It's affected him. I just have a hard time believing that somebody that every expert told me was the best quarterback in the country coming in can be this inept. Their running game has been a problem. I'm starting to hear some serious criticism from the LSU fans. So, Brian Kelly, beware! Don't try losing this game. You should have lost it last year.
Hmm. And I guess we could wrap it up since we've talked about all the other interconference games. Tennessee hosting Arkansas, actually a revenge game for the Vols this year. It's at Neyland. But I want to ask you about Bobby Petrino and the coaching situation there in Arkansas. He's made a lot of changes over the bye week since he took control. What's the feeling from Arkansas fans? Do they want Petrino to stick around beyond this year, or are they wanting something fresh and new?
They're just happy Sam Pittman is gone, number one. I think Petrino could make a case for himself. I don't think he has to win a lot, but I think if he could win one or two games, they would very likely keep him. There's no clear candidate. Rhett Lashley seems to be the name, but some Arkansas insiders don't think so. So I think it's CBD on that, but I don't see Petrino. I mean, he might get one win here somewhere, but the odds of him getting more than that are pretty slim.
Yeah, I think
it won't be today. It won't be tomorrow.
You know, a big concern for Petrino, despite his age, he's always looking for something fresh and new himself. So I think you have to.
Yeah, I mean, listen, not to be too funny here, because I have to be serious.
That's
but,
right.
Wouldn't it be funny if he came out in the sidelines tomorrow with a neck brace?
Hey, trick or treat.
Yeah. Man, that would be great. As always, Paul, another great week talking with you about these games and looking forward to watching you tomorrow on TV and then following it up with some good Saturday football. So we appreciate it as always.
Guys, thanks for remembering it.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays with Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Great conversation with him every single week, and we've got some really good games setting us up for tomorrow. And Auburn fans, how you feeling? I mean, only 3.5-point dogs to the Dogs, and you're at home at Jordan-Hare. Can you get it done? And then Bama, how are you feeling about Missouri?
I'll be watching the Bama-Missouri game at a one-year-old's birthday party tomorrow, so that... I've never done that.
Watch the foul language, okay? I know how you get when you're watching football.
All right. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Friday morning. Back with more on the way.
All right, welcome back. Dan and Dalton's College Football Show, our Friday extravaganza.
We've been to the marble manufacturer, and we've gotten all the marbles for this. They've donated all the marbles for this segment where we're going to pick our little hearts out for the big games this weekend.
Oh, I just lost mine. I just lost my marbles.
One of the marbles rolled under the desk.
Live on the air. So the pick 'em, and we spent our first segment today talking about, you know, where things stand. I've got some catching up to do. Dan, I hate to say it, you've really got some catching up
to do.
I'm starting to not like our personal odds in winning the FM Talk College Pick 'em pool this year, but some of you hitting at almost a 66% rate against the spread.
Right.
And, of course, you know, as a as a guy who has maybe placed a wager on a game once before or twice, it does help when you have a moving line and yours is stuck at the beginning of the week, because you do see a lot of movement on some of these games.
Yeah, some of these lines were earlier this week that we're playing with here. They've changed since we put our picks down.
Yeah, some of the pros, they talk all the time about closing line value, right? Mm-hmm. And it's where the line you got compared to where it ends.
Yes.
And that's your best opportunity in
many
of
those
cases.
Some of those may have worked in my favor.
So, yeah, and let's start with that Missouri at home, undefeated, ranked 14th, hosting Alabama, and the tied 2.5-point favorites after that big win against Vanderbilt, but before that, Georgia.
If just a little bit of the Alabama that played Florida State shows up in Missouri, just a little bit of that. If Ty Simpson, who's been so great, he's been fun to watch, but if he just steps back a little bit with this 11 o'clock kickoff and Missouri's on their game, which I can't guarantee any of this, but I'm just guessing that Missouri can at least cover. And there's not much to cover there, 2.5.
Yeah, I mean,
so I guess I'm kind of picking the upset.
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of right there with you. And I can't get out of my mind, and I know it was just the first half last week, but Vandy had some dang lanes, didn't they? Running the ball.
And this team averages 280 yards or something a game. They know how to run the ball. Now, they haven't played anybody, but they are a really good run team. They could take the clock away from Alabama. They could keep Alabama's offense off the field. I'm just going with how about if this happens, and so I'll go. You know, I've got to make up. I've got to win some games here that are unlikely.
And I'm on your side on this. I'm taking Missouri as well.
Okay.
Ohio State, the big noon kickoff, which I wonder if they'll revisit that down the line for some of these home teams.
Not before they fire everybody at Fox that came up with the idea in the first place.
These 11A kickoffs for some of these teams.
Yeah, trying to make them into a big deal.
But Ohio State, number one in the nation, haven't had much trouble at all this year. You'd have to go, I guess, back to the Texas game first week.
Mm-hmm.
They're favored by 14.5 points over an Illinois team that has been as hot and cold in these big games as you can be early in the season.
And they were a team that you wouldn't think would get hot and cold because they're just, they're a Belima, the team. Not the illness.
They have medicine
Brett
for that.
Brett Bielema, he's a pretty sturdy coach, and that team is, you can expect what you're going to get, but they have been up and down. They nipped USC at home last week. I think that they'll get inside the 14.5 and cover against the Buckeyes.
Okay. I went with Ohio State.
I can't
blame
you. Sometimes
when I don't know, I just go, who's the better team?
Yes.
So I'm going with the Buckeyes. This is a really interesting matchup in the Big Ten and on the West Coast. Number 3, Oregon, hosting this one this time after that close overtime win against Penn State a few weeks ago. Dan Lanning makes a quick pick-me-up trip down to Mobile, Alabama in between. Got some tips from you on how he should coach the team this week.
We hung out a little bit.
A little bit. Chatted. But Indiana ranked 7th in the nation. They're the team that took it to Illinois just a few weeks ago. But Oregon are still 7.5-point favorites in this one.
Yeah. Cignetti is not Mr. Congeniality. Mm. No one really digs his act too much, but his team does. He gets his team ready to play. He gets those players in. He knows them as they're transferring in. He knows the product that's coming in the building, right? And he really gets them to play well together. And all that being said, Oregon is got so much talent. I think they'll cover. They've got 7.5, and I think they'll win by 8 or more.
Okay. I'm with Indiana on this one. I know
can't blame
it's
you.
7.5. That half is what I'm looking at here. In Oregon, I just don't know. I mean, they are coming off a bye, but we know their coach, he wasn't doing any coaching. He was down here. No, I'm just joking. I'm sure they're ready to play. I'm going to take Indiana to keep it close in Eugene. The Red River rivalry, the Red River shootout in the Cotton Bowl, and Texas, believe it or not, favored once again, 2.5 points over number 6 Oklahoma.
If every day defenses have made Arch Manning look that bad, Ohio State. I'd say I would compare Oklahoma to Ohio State as far as level of defense. They're close. What is Oklahoma going to do to them? If they can muster a little bit of offense, if the ghost of John Mateer can do something on the sideline. I'm going with Oklahoma.
Yeah, and I mean Oklahoma. They're not coming off a bye. I think they had Kent State last week.
Yeah, they did.
So they might 44 as well. Zip. Kent State is the worst team in college football. I'm taking Texas, and this is purely an against the grain pick. I've got some catching up to do as well. Why is Texas favored?
Yeah.
Other than the quarterback situation, I don't know. But apparently, somebody in Vegas thinks they know.
Okay.
So I'm taking Texas to cover in the Red River Shootout. Tennessee's favored by 13.5 points at home. Revenge game after Arkansas beat them by 8 points last year. New coach, new old coach, Bobby Petrino. I'm taking Tennessee to cover the 2 touchdowns.
Easily. Mm. Yeah, 13.5 Tennessee by 20 or more.
Texas A&M at home under the lights. I think it's a late game at College Station this weekend. It is definitely at 6 o'clock. So A&M is favored over the Florida Gators, who are coming off that win against Texas, and the Aggies are favored by 7.5 points.
I don't know why I did this, because 1 week on, 1 week off for Florida at best. This would be an off week, but I'm going to go with them. I picked Florida to at least cover. I don't expect them to win the game.
Well, I mean, A&M beat Auburn 16-10. Was that what the final was there?
Yeah. Maybe that went into some of my thinking, like, they're beatable. Everyone's beatable, just about.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, I don't know if we're going to have an SEC team without a loss at the end of the year. I'm going to take the Aggies. I have trouble believing that Florida's going to be able to do that 2 weeks in a row, and A&M just seems to have it absolutely rolling right now. This is another interesting cross-country trip for the Big Ten. USC is at home this week after losing on the road at Illinois. But number 15, Michigan, this is their first West Coast trip, by my count, this year, and USC favored by 2.5 over the ranked Michigan squad.
Again, it was so far back in the week. I don't remember why I picked I don't remember my reasoning, but I did pick USC to win the game. So I just have my fingers crossed and hope that's the case.
Yeah, and that Michigan quarterback, the freshman.
Underwood.
I think it's about time for him to show out here. Did you know he only has 3 passing touchdowns this year?
Hmm.
1 interception so far. Running the ball, he's averaging about 7 a carry. So Michigan's been running the ball well. I'm going to take the Wolverines. I think they'll be as fresh as you can be on a West Coast trip. So I'm going to take them to cover and win in L.A. This game, at Jordan-Hare, Georgia, favored by 3.5 points on the road at Auburn.
I've heard a lot of Auburn people that I was expecting for them to choose this game as an Auburn win because of all the reasons. And they went with Georgia, including the guys with that, what is the one, the two brothers? Whose dad was the coach here at South Alabama and also was a great player at Auburn. The name escapes me. That's okay. But they were picking Georgia to win this game. So I think I've got every right to pick the Dogs.
Yeah, you've been given the go-ahead. I'm going to take the Dogs, too. And I think the whole hope for Auburn this year was that Jackson Arnold wasn't the quarterback he was at Oklahoma. But so far he is.
Yeah.
So why would you start pretending he's going to be anything different?
He's also been sacked a bunch. Georgia has not gotten to the quarterback much.
I think Auburn's had more sacks given up than any team in the nation.
I think you're right.
Unbelievable.
And Georgia's not done it well, but we'll see.
Texas Tech, talk about a team that's been
Crane
rolling.
And Company.
Yeah,
and that's the name of the show.
Okay, Jake Crane.
Yeah,
and you know what's embarrassing? I had classes with him.
And did
I couldn't
you
remember that? Yeah, Jake. So he probably doesn't remember. Texas Tech at home, 13.5-point favorites over Kansas. Kansas, another one of these teams you never really know what you're going to get.
True. Good coach in Leipold. Texas Tech, they're rounding into form. They're at home. On the road, I would pick Kansas to cover, but the spread would not be that big on the road. I will pick Texas Tech to win by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think they have 14 enough players on that defense to keep Jaden Daniels relatively in check. So I'm taking the Red Raiders myself. And then the final one for us here, another SEC game, and LSU is at home in Baton Rouge with South Carolina coming to them. The Tigers favored by 9.5.
We'll have to talk to Paul Feinbaum about – well, we did talk to Paul about this a little bit. And but I think Kelly will come on his show Mondays, right? So it'll be interesting. I just think that LSU, they've got to put a game together where they're suddenly they look like LSU. So I'm going to go with them to win by 10 or more.
I wanted to see, and I haven't pulled it up in time, and we're running out of time, whether South Carolina had any action last week. No, I think they got the bye. So I'm going to stick with South Carolina. Again, this is just one of those picks where – everyone is expecting LSU to take care of business. We've seen their offensive struggles.
And you're only
this
year picking them to stay within 9.5.
Within 9.5, yeah. So I'm going to take South Carolina there. And I'm feeling, honestly, Dan, really, really good about my picks this week.
Well, I can tell.
I think this is when I turn the corner.
I think it's a misguided notion, actually, for either of us to feel good about our picks.
Let us know what you think. We'll be back on, as we are always, every weekday morning, 6 to 9. So the next time you'll hear us will be Monday morning if you listen on FM Talk 106.5.
We'll talk about killing coyotes in Spanish Ford rather than football.
Yeah, but hey, we love some trash talk. So if you want to bring it on a Monday morning for our bad picks, I don't mind that one bit.
No.
Thanks again, Dan and Dalton's College Football Show. We'll see you next week.